I speak to the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Happy Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a feast day in the church. It is a day of celebration. And if you've been to Palm Sundays in the past, maybe around 3 years ago when we had our last Palm Sunday outside of COVID, and not that we're outside of COVID now, but we had 3 years of COVID, and then Palm Sunday 3 years ago was outside of COVID. Maybe you guys read the Passion Narrative as a part of the Palm Sunday liturgy. And there's a theological reason that we do that, and we're going to do that today as well. And I'll get to the reason why we do that in a little bit. But if you come to Palm Sunday and hear the Passion Narrative read during the gospel, it can feel a little bit like whiplash, where you start outside those church doors and you sing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, and you celebrate Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem for about this much of the service. And then you hear the Passion Narrative and you move immediately from celebration to Good Friday. And it can be difficult. And there is, like I said, a reason that we do that. But for this year, I made the decision to postpone the Passion Narrative and read it at the end of the service. Because Palm Sunday is a feast day, and it is a celebration all on its own. It is a day standing outside of and alone by itself. It is the day that we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We have fixed dates and roaming dates in our church year. For example, a fixed date is Christmas. Every December 25th is Christmas Day. Every December 24th, we will celebrate Christmas Eve, and we will have Christmas Eve services. On the other hand, Easter is a roaming date. The date of Easter is set on the Jewish feast of Passover, and we work backwards from the Jewish feast of Passover. We work backwards to Palm Sunday and backwards all the way, the 40 days and 40 nights of Lent, all the way back to Ash Wednesday. And that's the date of Easter is set every year based on the Jewish tradition of the feast of Passover. And if you remember, the Feast of Passover celebrates that Old Testament story when the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt and Moses goes to liberate them with the crossing of the Red Sea, and there are plagues that are sent down, seven plagues in total, because the Pharaoh says, the people can go, no, the people can't go, okay, the people can go, no, they can't go. So seven plagues are sent down. And the final plague is the death of the firstborn child, unless you had the blood of the lamb marked on your door, and then the plague passed over you. Passed over. It is the Feast of Passover. And Jesus was crucified according to our Bible, and all of the readings that we have from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of the readings say that Jesus was crucified at the Feast of Passover, the Jewish celebration. And there are all sorts of theological implications of what it means that Jesus was crucified at Passover and is our Passover for our sins. But we have a roaming date for Easter. And we set the date for Palm Sunday 7 days prior to the date of Passover for the Feast of Celebration, because we are told that that's when Jesus was crucified. So today we celebrate the arrival of Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And we're told that what happens is that people take off their cloaks and they throw them on the ground and they scatter palm branches and they sing, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But like I said, the date of Palm Sunday is set based on the date of Passover. It is the Jewish celebration, and Rome at this time is Jewish. And so when we celebrate Palm Sunday, it's important to remember that at that very time that Jesus was entering Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate, Annas, and Caiaphas, the high priest, we are going to hear about them in the Passion Narrative, you're going to hear about them on Good Friday, the people that oversaw the trial and execution of Jesus, these powerful men, were also coming into the city to celebrate the Feast of Passover. So through the main gates of the city of Jerusalem, we had chariots and war horses and people that came to celebrate the arrival of Pontius Pilate, of High Priest Annas and Caiaphas, and they came through the main city gates. Jesus, on the other hand, untied a donkey and came through the back of the city gates and had a triumphant entry, almost as a counter-protest to the parade that was going on as these powerful men entered the city. It's interesting to think of Palm Sunday as a counter-protest to the powerful people that will, in a few days, oversee the execution of Jesus. But essentially, what happens here is that we have this dichotomy. We have this entire story through all of the Gospels where Jesus says the way that man understands the world is not the way God understands the world. And they are two separate things. And Jesus and God constantly turn that understanding on its head. So as we have these powerful people that come in and are going to oversee the execution, and there's all sorts of theological implications of even that statement. What does it mean that they oversaw the theological, what does it mean that they oversaw the execution of Jesus? Did they have the power to kill Jesus? Did anyone have the power to kill Jesus? Was Jesus just doing what God had willed him to do? Did Pilate actually put Jesus to death? These are all conversations we can have in adult education. But for today, we're going to stay with these are the people who had the power to release Jesus or to crucify him, whether or not God would have allowed that to happen. These are the people who oversaw death and execution. There's that common phrase that everyone knows, absolute power corrupts absolutely. You have these powerful people who are more or less corrupt leaders in Rome that are coming into the city. They have power and they abuse it regularly. And then you have Jesus, who on the other hand has no state-given authority or power. He is not a governor or an emperor or the king or a president if we were in the United States. He has no authority that has been given to him. And yet, he is powerful. He has the ability to invoke change and emotion and compassion and kindness out of people. He goes from city to city teaching people how to live and teaching people to work for justice and equality and to love your neighbor as yourself. He's an incredibly powerful person, and the people who have power and authority over him will execute him in a few days. But Palm Sunday puts a pin in that, and it puts a moment where we celebrate everything that Jesus has taught us. And we celebrate the fact that just a few weeks ago, when Jesus was ministering in Galilee, he told his disciples that he was going to set and turn his face to Jerusalem, and he was going to walk towards Jerusalem. It's a famous line where Peter says, I don't know, maybe let's not go to the place where people want to kill you. Sounds like a bad idea, Jesus. Let's stay here. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And he makes his way to Jerusalem. We have this entry where Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem knowing that the people who are also entering the city at the exact same time want to kill him. He knows that there will be a trial and an execution. And yet he comes in through the back gates of the city in a counter-protest to the powers that be, showing us that the entire focus of Holy Week is of love. We've officially started Holy Week. Holy Week runs from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And in Holy Week, we celebrate several services. We have Palm Sunday, which is today. On Maundy Thursday, which is Thursday, we're going to celebrate the Last Supper. I'm sure you've all seen that famous painting of the Last Supper. It is the last dinner that Jesus had with his friends and his disciples. Based on that dinner, we have taken and adapted it to be Holy Communion, which we celebrate every single week. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and then Jesus goes to the garden to pray. And on Maundy Thursday at St. Stephen's, we will have the foot washing, the stripping of the altar, Holy Communion, and then they will begin a watch that goes from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., where we stay with Jesus in the garden. And that question that Jesus asks his disciples, could you not just stay and pray with me for 1 hour? Could you not just pray for 1 hour? And then on Good Friday, we're going to have two services. We're going to have a service at noon here in Hopkinton through the Interfaith Service, and we're going to have a service at 7 p.m. at St. Stephen's, and we're going to remember that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, and he hung on the cross from noon until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m., he breathed his last, or as the King James Version says, he gave up his ghost. And then on Holy Saturday, we have a moment of pause. It's something we don't really do well in our lives or in the church life, where on Good Friday, we stop. And we don't do anything. The service ends in complete and utter silence. And people walk out of the church hearing that Jesus has died. There is no resolution. Jesus is dead. We leave the church. And there is darkness and there is despair. And it's not a comfortable moment for us because we want to rush to Easter. I want to rush to Easter. When I preach on Good Friday, I just want to scream at the end of the service, don't worry, it's going to get better. But that's not what the church does. They pause. And they acknowledge that sometimes life is awful, and it's hard, and it's traumatic, and there are times where we want to rush through the pain of that. But you can't get to the Good Friday, you can't get to the Easter Sunday without going through Good Friday. So we sit in darkness and despair for just a little bit over a day. And then on Great Easter Vigil on Saturday, we're going to have the Great Easter Vigil, which is a service of new light here at St. Paul's. We're going to light a new flame. We're going to hear the stories of our faith retold, the stories of the foundations of our faith. You're going to have the first declaration of Easter because early in the morning, the women went to the tomb to attend to Jesus's battered body. And then on Easter morning, we celebrate the empty tomb, the resurrection, the ending of the Good Friday service. But before we get to all of that, we stop and we pause in celebration of Palm Sunday. Because the entire theme of Palm Sunday and really Holy Week, all the way through the resurrection on Easter morning, is love. Why does Jesus set his face to Jerusalem? Why does he go to the place where people want to kill him? Why does he have a final meal with his friends? Why does he pray in the garden to the point where he sweats blood? Why does he go before his trial and execution, where you're going to hear the story retold, where they say, if you are the Messiah, come down and save yourself? But Jesus doesn't do that. He hangs on the cross until he has died and is buried in a borrowed tomb. Why? Because God loves us more than we can ask or imagine. And this week proves that there is not a single thing that God won't do to reconcile our relationship with God and to be with us. There is nothing that Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday and Good Friday can't bring us, because the whole theme of Holy Week is love. Love that we can never begin to experience in earthly relationships, because God loves us more than we can ask or imagine. So this year, given the fact that life has been difficult for the past, I don't know, two years since COVID started, I guess 2 years, we're entering 3 years. Life has been difficult for the past 2 years in COVID because of COVID, and then because life continues to go on in COVID. Because of all of that, I made the decision to postpone reading the Passion narrative to the very end of the service. And the reason for that is because I figured we deserved a little bit of extra time to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday through the remainder of the service. And then at the close of the service, we're going to transition and move to the Passion narrative. And the reason that we read the Passion narrative on Palm Sunday is because we know that people have lives. And as much as Beth and I would love for you all to travel with us through our, I don't know, 9 services this week, we understand that maybe that's not possible for you. And we don't want you to go from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday without hearing the Passion narrative on Good Friday. Because Good Friday, like I said, does something that we don't want to do. It recognizes that life is not perfect. It recognizes that there is hardship and despair. But the thing that Good Friday brings us before Easter, the thing that Good Friday in itself brings us, is a God who understands that pain and despair. So today we're going to celebrate a little bit longer, and then we're going to hear the Passion narrative, and then we're going to depart in silence. But I want you to remember that this week, this whole week, is a story of love and the love of God for each of us. Amen.